So we've got a 61-year-old man who has a clear history of stable angina, as evidenced by his chest pain that's brought on by mowing the lawn. And this is on a background of smoking and hypertension as his risk factors for atherosclerosis, which will be plugging his coronary arteries. And in times of physical activity, when his myocardium has increased oxygen demand, he's going to have a large, stable plaque preventing that blood flow from adequately reaching that myocardium. So this would be consistent with choice B, 85% stenosis with microcalcification. So student can get confused and say, but wait, I don't understand. Like, what's the calcification about? Nothing overly specific, nothing to overanalyze, just you can know tangentially, make a note that, okay, thrombi can calcify. All right, no big deal. It's just, you can get distracted here, but the other answers don't make sense. If you look at choice A, 30% stenosis with a superficial rupturing plaque, that would be consistent with unstable angina, which would be he'd have a history of essentially random chest pain not related to physical exertion. But the vignette would also give you a similar background of cardiovascular risk factors, maybe intermittent claudication, smoking, high blood pressure, etc. Because when we talk about quote unquote random episodes of chest pain not related to physical exertion, this could also refer to prinzmetal angina, right? Or variant angina. And that's choice D, episodes of 95 to 100% vasospastic occlusion. So the difference is that with prinzmetal angina, variant angina, they would generally give you a younger patient who does not have cardiovascular risk factors. They might say a 28-year-old male has central chest pain that lasts for several seconds while he's sleeping and goes away. So that's just a vasospastic event. And choice C, acute thrombus with 60% stenosis, just another distractor here. We are not inclined to think that this presentation is a one-off acute event because this is related to his physical activity, as we mentioned. So if we had an acute thrombus, yeah, once again, they would just give us a one-off presentation in combination with the fact that 60% stenosis just isn't typically a degree of occlusion associated with symptoms. Not to say it's impossible, but just once again, this answer choice doesn't quite fit. And then left atrial mural thrombus, that would be the answer for atrial fibrillation. If this guy had stroke or TIA or retinal artery occlusion, we could look at left atrial mural thrombus as a greater possibility, especially if you are older, okay? So atrial fibrillation, you get the stasis and the left atrial mural thrombi, it's common, launches off. So I think just maybe something else I could note is that in this patient with the stable angina, if they were to ask you what you see on ECG, could just be ST segment depression, reflective of general ischemia. In prinzmetal angina, you should note that you get ST segment elevations, but this is not reflective of infarction, okay? Not reflective of infarction. So it's sort of a good factoid to know that, oh, wow, okay, like I can also get ST segment elevations in prinzmetal. That's pretty much it. I mean, just also knowing that nitrates, sublingual nitrates, common treatment for this guy. That's what the USMLE will do. They'll give you the same vignette here and then say the ideal treatment to decrease his chest pain when one of these episodes occurs has what kind of mechanism of action? And the answer would be increased activity of guanylyl cyclase. That's what nitrates do, is they upregulate guanylyl cyclase in the veins primarily. Guanylyl cyclase will lead to an increase in cGMP and ultimately decreased tone of the smooth muscle in the veins. That's it.